He has his own podcast. What is it, y'all? Get my shit together.
Jackie is a punk. Judy is a runt. They both went down to Berlin and joined the Eiskapades. And oh, I don't know why. Oh, I don't know why. Perhaps they'll die. Oh, yeah. Die. Oh, yeah. Jackie is a punk. Judy is a runt. They both went out to Frisco and joined the SLA. Yay. And oh, I don't know why. Shout out to the SLA. And Patty Hearst. And Bill Walton, for that matter, if you can put all that together. Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Friday, October 27th, 2023. It's Friday, and you know we will get down on this Friday. You got to get down on Friday. It's imperative, she says. Rebecca Black didn't write that song. She bought it from some dude on the internet and recorded it. And it's a staple of morning radio in the home occupied by this stand-up comic, his wife, and 4.5-year-old daughter. It's Friday. My daughter is off to school today. It's the 8 o'clock hour. I'm doing most of what makes me feel like myself, talking to you, expressing the feelings inside of me, chasing ideas, being intellectually involved in my environment, thoughtful, fitter, happier, more productive. My daughter's off to school today. It's a big school day. It's the costume contest. It's the Halloween parade. It's the Halloween carnival. It's not a whole lot of education, but it certainly is a lot of socialization. And my daughter is dressed as the Tooth Fairy. And she looks to this parent, she looks adorable. And more than looking adorable, she's just the most appealing thing about the whole event is she's just so hyped to have Halloween upon us. So she can have a few more twigs, as she calls them. So this is the podcast for Friday. It's in motion. I mentioned my daughter is off to school. She and I were listening to the Ramones this morning, hence the, dude, could you just clear your throat at the beginning? Or pause the recording and do it? Sure, I could do that. My daughter and I were listening to the Ramones this morning. We were listening to the very first record, which came out 40, no, 50, I don't know, many years ago. We're listening to the Ramones this morning. Because she was chasing me around with a kid's big, you know, the kid's plastic, like, wiffle bat, you know, like a big fat bat that you throw a plastic ball to and a kid hits. My daughter was kind of menacing me with one of those this morning as I was getting her clothes out of the dryer so she can have the auxiliary witch's dress to change into after the carnival. Costume contest, cake contest, by the way. My daughter, under my wife's tutelage, made a cake. It was a big day of doing jack shit and us paying for it today, which is fine. And for some reason, there's no school on Monday. This school is so clever and let's take a break. Well, then the parents have to adjust their schedules. Anyway, we're thrilled with the place she goes to school, okay? I don't think I even got into it. I was at an event a week ago, and some guy just started unloading about his divorce that he was in the middle of. It's wild. My daughter chased me around this morning with the bat, and she was singing Beat on the Brat, the Ramones song. So we put on the first record, Ramones record, and it starts, of course, with the song I was singing at the top. Jackie is a punk. It doesn't start with that song at all. It starts with the Blitzkrieg Bop. They're forming in a straight line, going through a tight line. The kids are losing their mind. Blitzkrieg Bop. Pilot in the backseat. Generate steam heat. Pulsating to the backbeat. Blitzkrieg Bop. Hey, oh, let's go. Shoot them in the back now. My daughter's introduction to music. The first Ramones song involves shooting them in the back. the second song. This is on this record. Just the first three songs on the Ramones debut recording on Sire Record. The first three songs. Shoot 'em in the back now. Moral of that story. Second one. Beat on the brat with a baseball bat. Third one. Jackie and Judy, two super fans of the bands, they go to Berlin, they join the Ice Capades, they go to San Francisco, and they join the SLA, yay, the Symbionese Liberation Army. People trying to do what's best for the people, attack the banks, you know. They caused some menace. They really scared the establishment. They were partnering with the Black Panthers, I believe. When the establishment was not what it is today, where you do not have the, I'm not going to go into big enforcers of fascism. My goodness, how could I possibly forget about mass shootings being done by people who are obsessed with weapons and trained by our armed services in this country? I almost forgot because I was so distracted by what was happening in Israel and Gaza. As CNN would say, Israel at war. It's more than fucking Israel, by the way. It's almost like they control the media. We did it again. Another almost 20 people in Maine. My gosh. What are we going to do? I know. You know what? Something's going to change someday. Something will change where hunters, home protectors can have their rifles. They can have their guns. We can have our guns in a sensible way. But something will be done to stop these mass shootings. It's just going to happen. I'm positive. I'm optimistic. It's not going to happen anytime soon because it's too dogmatic and people are too, intent on winning or being right rather than winning for the... I'm not solving anything here. I know that. But, you know, shit changes. There was a time where you could smoke in a grocery store. There was a time where you could smoke in a restaurant. You could smoke on an airplane. And ultimately, we decided that's not good for us. Now, I understand that guns are much more divisive. Anyway, what an utter tragedy. But the first three songs, Blitzkrieg Bop. I was talking about a mass shooting in Maine, okay? Blitzkrieg Bop, Shoot 'Em in the Back. Second song, Beat on the Brat with a Baseball Bat. Third song, Jackie's Punk, Judy Bulgogne, Frisco, join the SLA. I know, I don't know why. Perhaps they'll die. Oh, yeah, perhaps they'll die. So three kind of songs of violence right off the bat on the first Ramones record. My daughter says to me, she's singing Beat on the Brat. She doesn't really understand what it means. And then she said to me, I said to her, I actually stopped while we were having breakfast listening to it. And I said, do you know what a brat is? And she said, no, which I love. I love you, she, her, anyone who admits they don't know what a word means. I will raise my hand and say, I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means. I think it's okay to raise your hand and say, when someone uses a word, like, I don't know what that means. Do you know what that says? That says you're secure enough in yourself to get it right, rather than to live in darkness and ignorance. We talk about, and I'm not losing the plot yet, we talk about language and proper usage of words. You know a word people misuse all the time? For what it's worth, nonplussed. People misuse the word nonplussed all the time, and I'm here to put a goddamn end to it. Nonplussed does not mean like lack of enthusiasm or lack of thrill. Like, oh, I'm not really, like, it's, I don't think it's the opposite of plussed. Or I could be totally wrong. Look it up. But I believe nonplussed means more like perplexed or confused. Like he was nonplussed by that. Or that matter left him nonplussed, I think probably is a better use of it. How many times do you ever hear the word nonplussed? Well, you've heard it more on this podcast today than you ever have in your life. Excuse me. My daughter says she doesn't know what a brat is. And I said, well, it's, you know, kind of a whiny, selfish. We have the concept in our house of being high maintenance or low maintenance. Like a high maintenance person that's just kind of crabby. And then she said, like blank, using the name of a kid she went to school with at her last academy. A kid who I feel like was really a vessel for the teacher's frustrations. Like, they were almost like, and don't be like him. You know? I felt the kid got a bad rap, but, you know, that's what she said this morning. She goes, like him? And I said, yeah, kind of like that. And I suggested maybe another person in her universe she might recognize. And, you know, just kind of like a little nasty, not respectful of their parents. And, no, I'm not doing that. Like, you know, we all know what a brat is. And she's like, oh, yeah, I get it. And then she quickly put together, that's a brat. And then beat on the brat with the baseball bat. And she goes, why do they hit the person? She's like, okay, there's a, which tells you a lot about the scrum of being a child. You know, kids, the range of emotions is substantial, and they are super down or super up. Not all of them. My daughter's pretty even keeled, but she can go super high, super low. In the course of 20 minutes, there's been 4 changes of the seasons. Not like us, where it'd be like, wow, we had that, us meaning adults, we had that real significant emotional event this morning, and I'm still working through it, and I'm still a little bit pissed off and nonplussed by what happened. Or, wow, I'm so excited, and I remember that Friday because it was the day I finally got to listen to his podcast after everybody was telling me about it, and it really was a momentous occasion for me. Where you have kind of an emotion that is associated with a long period of time, kids can go up and down, right? So what I'm underlining is my daughter's sort of sense of that, understanding of that, maybe even empathy with that, where she said, right after we described what a brat was, she still wants to know, well, why would you, even though that's what a brat is, that kid, those kids, why would they hit the person with a baseball bat? And I just said, because no one wants to be around a brat. Which is not an answer. Like, you can just walk away from the brat. You don't have to actually go hit the brat with a baseball bat. But I thought it was very, very keen how she asked about, well, why would you hit him with a baseball bat? That's not very nice. Which is true. But also, you know, maybe, did he deserve it? They caught him trying to steal from his house, so he got a beating. In any case, that's how we were listening to the Ramones this morning, and she said, why would they hit the person? I'm back. What I alluded to perhaps the other day on the podcast was that, what did I do? You know what I did? I went to Atlanta. And I went to Atlanta earlier this week for non-comedy workish work. For non-comedy work. Really a few dinners. I had a few meals with a couple different groups of people to maintain relationships that put dollars in my pocket. That's what I did. I flew from San Diego on Monday morning. I flew from San Diego to Atlanta Monday at 11. And by the time you get to Atlanta, that's 6 o'clock with the time change. I had dinner with 2 people on Monday night. The next day, I had a meeting. Then I had lunch with, you know who I had lunch with? I had lunch with a neighbor who used to listen to the podcast, who even told me, he doesn't really listen to the podcast anymore. I was like, good. I don't really talk about you on it anymore. You've served your purpose. I've given you free comedy, not just for 3 years on the podcast, my friend, but I gave you free comedy at that fundraiser with Nick Murphy and Lace Larrabee, and you didn't give me anything. Remember when rich people were raising money for other rich people? So I got to have like a later lunch with him, and then I went and had meetings and then another dinner with a different group of people on Tuesday night. And I thought that the meal was going to go late into the night and there would be bourbon brought out and the men would sit around and swirl their glasses and talk about how they could sort of widen the gap between the haves and the have-nots and we could impress income inequality further onto the United States map. You know what I mean? This is the challenge in this country. What do you adapt or die? Right? And I'm not saying it's equally easy for everyone to adapt, but there are lots of people who make money who do not like income inequality. And what are they doing about it? Nothing. What am I doing about it? Nothing. I'm talking about it, but and I think there might be 500,000 homeless people in, not California, maybe 500,000 homeless people in the country, and perhaps 300,000 of them in California. What's being done? It's being talked about. There will be something built, I think. There will be people who care enough coming up saying, this is an embarrassment of riches. Why do we have so many billionaires? Why do we have so many millionaires? Forget about billionaires. Why do we have so many millionaires and we have all these people literally living on the streets in tents? They're like you would see, just for people who do not live in California or Seattle for that matter. And I'm sure it's the same in Portland. All these liberal bastions of feel-goodery and do-nothingness. Where all the red goddamn cities want to just lock these people up in what? And then just foot the goddamn... You know, it's a tough problem, okay? But it's a situation, okay? So I thought this dinner would go late on Tuesday, but it didn't. We were finished by like 8 o'clock. It was productive. We had wrapped by 8 o'clock. This trip was so in the dark for me. I didn't tell anybody about it. I didn't tell anybody in Atlanta about it. I mean, any comedy folk. I didn't stay with any friends. I stayed at a hotel. It was like a president showing up on Thanksgiving Day in the middle of Afghanistan or something like that. It wasn't like Biden going to Israel the other day, which really made me think, this guy does have dementia. Does he know where he is going? It was in the dark, and then I was done by like 8:30. I was back at the hotel by 8:30, which is 5:30 Pacific, so I'm going to be up for a few hours. I'm going to Limerick. That's right, so I took an Uber to Limerick and went and had a little bit of a time at Limerick, and everybody was there. Everybody was there. Luke Bentley hosting the show. I told you I've handed the reins off to Luke Bentley. He was there. Brian King was on the show. Shaunik Godkindy. Lissandra Vasquez was the first person I saw when I walked in. Will Foskey was in town. Nick Murphy was there. Khalid El Choufi. It was great. I did a spot. I had one joke work, maybe two or three others that didn't. Which reminded me, I know my style. I know my jokes. And occasionally I will try to flex into other styles of jokes. And it's like, this is not crushing. This is maybe more clever. I'm not talking about like, you know, gay, having a gay mecca. You are a gay. I'm not talking about like gay mecca or something like that. But maybe something like, you know, a guy told me, right, immediately around the time that Hamas attacked Israel, October 7th or something like that. A guy said to me, that's quite a victory for the underdog. And I was like, dude, I'm not sure victory is, I mean, it was a win. You know, they're on the board. Like Adolf Hitler at Michigan State. They're on the board. You know what I mean? If you go to Michigan State, you go to a football game there, you can see, if you're so inclined, an image of Adolf Hitler. Which just, it's like, when you think of Michigan State, I want you to think of a pedo gymnastics coach and Adolf Hitler and a university administration that does not look after its children, its students. That's what when you think of Michigan State, you should think of Hitler, because that's who they put on the jumbotron. Michigan, what is happening out there? How does Hitler end up on your screen? That's crazy to me. Oh, my phone was hacked. Like, you got drunk and just, if I can put Hitler up there, we'll see. F Michigan. That's Michigan State for you. Hitler, the gymnastics coach, whose name I know but will not say out loud. Because I don't like learning the names of terrible people or repeating them. But maybe you say this guy's name enough, it brings shame to, I don't know, to everyone associated. Just when you think of Michigan State, you should think of Adolf Hitler, the gymnastics coach, and an administration who did nothing to protect its students. Okay? But the guy said to me, like, it's a big victory. And I was like, you know, maybe they scored a touchdown. You know, Hamas scored. They might be a little, fuck yeah, dude. They caught the defense sleeping. And the defense, who was substantial. And by the way, spend a lot of their time. They built, have you ever seen the, depending on whose journalist lens you look at. Also, it's wild. I'm not on social media a whole lot, but it's wild to have people in my feed who are on opposite sides of the Israel-Palestine issue interpret the same exact event in wholly different ways. Are you talking about motivated cognition? Are you talking about differential framing? Kind of, a little bit. It's wild. Are you talking about confirmation bias? A little bit. It's incredible. People are the same exact event in wholly different ways. Also, you got to tip your cap to misinformation, because remember when that hospital was bombed? Nobody will ever know what caused it. I mean, sensible people like us will never know. Or maybe I should pick up the newspaper, which I have not done, you know, in 2 weeks. Who knows? Immediately, Israel blew up a hospital. Well, actually, it seems like maybe there was a thing in Hezbollah. Well, actually, maybe Gaza had the Hamas had a thing where the thing got sideways. And it doesn't matter. It's lost to history. No one knows. A hospital blew up. And this day and age we live in, no one can figure the goddamn thing out. But that's not really a joke that I want to invest a whole lot in. What do you think the line was when Hamas squared off against Israel? Oh, man, what would it be? Israel has to be heavily favored. I know I just jumped from Israel favored by 60 years. They caught the defense. They have, like I was going to say a second ago, you can, depending on your perspective, you can call it the apartheid wall, you can call it the separation barrier, whatever the fuck it is. It's a wall that goes like 500 miles into the sky and just tells the Palestinians, fuck you, go underground, come over, try to farm this dirt, take your pebbles and go back home. I'm not going to make a big, the point here is, I'm not going to make a long invested joke about, and this sort of a realization. I even saw a couple people laughing at, like, the, you know, the idea of it. But that's not where I want to be. And it's just a good reminder every once in a while to try something. Like, that's not my thing to make a whole analogy, a whole war analogy. You know, I've said a million times, F Israel. And I mean that. I'm not getting on that right now. But I will also say that about most states, most nation states. F China, F Brazil. I don't know about Brazil. I mean, what's not to like? Well, the fucking favelas, dude, and the, you know, death squads and all that. All right, anyway, here's the point. I'm not going to invest myself in a big, long joke about, this is a big, you know, it's a big win for them. It's not a win, but it's, they scored a touchdown. They put some points on the board. They're on the board like Adolf Hitler at Michigan State. On the board like Adolf Hitler at Michigan State. There, let's introduce that in. Let's place that into the lexicon. I'm not going to do jokes like that. Well, why are you walking us through it? Well, because it's called getting my act together. And I'm just doing this reinforces. That's not the kind of, I don't do clever guy shit. I do shit that happens to me, that I make happen, and what happens, and what it hopefully tells a larger story. And everyone can go home with a good gut feeling and a good chuckle that people are insane. And we're all insane. As I told my next door neighbor, we're having a joint lament about the neighbor across the street who I've extended grace to with his barking dogs. I said to the neighbor that I was texting with, we are all oddballs in our own way. I just feel that those people across the street are a little more special than the rest of us. So you know what I mean? That's what you're going to get from my show. So I went to Limerick, and it was great, and it underlined something you maybe have heard bleeding through these recordings over the last couple of weeks. I miss everybody. It's a real thing. We don't, all of our friends, we have family out here, we have our best friends from, 20, 25 years ago here in San Diego. But we don't see them every night. We don't see them every fifth night. We don't walk through our neighborhood like we did. Even if you see someone you don't love, like neighbor who used to listen to podcasts, we don't have those relationships. We don't have any friends out here is what it is. I mean, we have like friends that are such friends that are like family, but we don't have friends that you bump into on the street that you say you want to go to park pool, that you want to get a beer with. We don't have those. And that there's a melancholy, I'm a positive, optimistic guy, but there's just a subtle melancholy about that if I let myself think about it too much. So it was, and going to Atlanta and going to Limerick underlined that, reinforced it. And also having those meals with those people who I have long-standing relationships with in Atlanta that also benefit me financially. Those are friends that are also, business relations. Those are people I care about. Like, these familiar faces, these deep connections. And the same thing at Limerick, seeing all those people and sitting out on the porch while everyone's smoking, getting ready for lightning round, hanging out, chatting. I miss all that, It was like simultaneously great to see everybody and also a touch sad. A touch, not sad, melancholic. Melancholic? Melancholy and the infinite sadness. Not at all. You know me. I'm positive, optimistic, can do. I'm in the podcast recording chair 8 a.m. today doing what makes me feel most like myself. We just, and you hopefully, and I'm not trying to sell you on this, we're having a blast with this girl. My wife and I are having fun together. We've been together for 25 years. We're good. We're solid. We like each other still. We just don't have any fucking friends. And that's just kind of disorienting. Though my wife, tonight, is going out with one of her friends for dinner. And the lady and I will be a party of two. Bachelor night, bachelor and bachelorette night. It's just that it'll work out. We'll make more friends. My comedy roots will continue to stiffen, lengthen, get implanted. I mean, how awful can that sound? Here in San Diego, it was great seeing everybody at Limerick. Great bombing through my spot. Also, anybody at Limerick, there is a speaker missing. I told Luke this. There is a speaker missing, and I'll make some changes. It's funny, people think I have juice at Limerick still. Maybe I do. But they're like, oh yeah. I'm like, how's it been? Or, good to see you. How's it been? Limerick still fun? Yeah, I haven't got on lately. Well, I'm not going to tell Luke to put you on. You gotta go say, hey, Luke, put me on. There's a speaker missing in the back. Anyway, it was fun just to be there, but it had a touch of Yeah, touch of that. Touch of what we're missing. I was wondering if it was like, am I the 13th grade phenomenon where I'm like, hey, everybody, it's me again. And it's not that at all, because that's how comedy works. People come and go, and people come back and say hello, and they'll show up around the holidays and that sort of thing. It's not that at all. It's just like a reminder that we don't really have that. I don't have that here, but I'm going to get it. I'm going to make it. And I'm going to have a great night tonight with my daughter, just two of us. So did Limerick, and then next day had one more lunch and then flew home. And I sort of zoned out on the way. I usually am writing or trying to, you know, do something productive on a plane. But on both legs of the plane, both legs of the flight, I watched something. On the way out, I watched the ESPN 30 for 30 on the Duke lacrosse story, which is wild. Incredible. These guys were railroaded. I remember when it happened in like 2005, when the woman alleged that she had been sexually assaulted. She alleged that she had been raped at that house. Anyway, watch the documentary. It's very well done, I thought. And if you don't want to watch it and you want to know what happened, two things happened to compel this story. Three things. What happened? One is the expectation that it would happen. White, wealthy, privileged, bro lacrosse, aggressive, you know, entitled, whatever. White dudes at Duke. Sure, logically that makes sense that they would rape a black stripper who came to their house, I guess. Kind of that town gown. Like, of course these monsters did that, right? And that's what the narrative was that was pushed. So there's that context where it fit into the idea that people wanted to see or wanted to be true, I suppose. Second, there was a prosecutor who was obsessed with getting reelected. But what's so interesting about it is he doesn't look like that. So he probably had more latitude to fuck this up than somebody who would have, people immediately would have been like, this guy is a shark. This guy he's a wolf, the prosecutor, the DA, whatever he was, the prosecutor is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He just looks like a sort of bumbling small town, golly gee, we'll figure this out. But really he was like hiding evidence, you know, doing some real shady shit. And so that made it very challenging for the truth to ever become known until 1 year later. And then third is the person who made the allegation clearly had mental health challenges. So those three things, I think, and maybe the last two are the primary things. One is this prosecutor was just obsessed with getting reelected, fucked it all up, and dirty, underhanded. And he was disbarred. The woman had mental health challenges, and then maybe some situational pressures to explain why she had been passed out at a party when, you know, she has kids. And anyway, those are the key drivers set within the context of course we want to see this be true, because it's what we sort of suspect about the world may be true about the world, therefore it has to be true in this situation. Well, it wasn't. The three guys did not do anything, did not commit any crime. Nor did anyone on the Duke lacrosse team. Wild. And well done, I thought. So anyway, I don't, you can still check it out. I didn't give anything away. You know how it ends. The three guys were fucking railroaded. And then on the way back, I watched because someone near me was watching. I was like, what is this show with these horses? It's a show called, I get it, I'm the last to know. It's called Yellowstone. with Kevin Costner. And I watched the first episode and maybe another episode and a half. The first episode is really ambitious, and I get why it might be a pilot. And it was compelling, pulled me in, I'm invested. And the second and third episode maybe slowed down a little bit, and you know, I might return to it, but certainly beautiful to look at. It's also another TV show that, in this weird American way, glamorizes the biggest assholes in the world. Isn't that what Succession was about? Like, let's glamorize the biggest assholes in the world. Like, this guy's daughter is just a fucking asshole. Like, I'm going to step all over your balls and your little small shit business. And you can just imagine the audience like, yeah, you get him, you bad bitch. It's just an interesting portrayal of people. Anyway, so I'm watching this, and the woman to my left has on Fox News, which I don't get a lot of in my life, Fox News. But the guy who's hosting it, and it looks like he is their big star now, I couldn't tell you his name, but it looks like every time I glance over there and they go to commercial, it's his name on the thing. And so whoever their new star is, this was his show. And he looks like the most punchable face. He's delivering the news with the biggest, the news. He's delivering what Fox tells him to with the biggest goddamn smirk on his face. Just like, aren't they assholes? Dude, you're talking about us, man. We go to the same schools. We come from the same soil. We're Americans. You're sowing division. I'm sowing unity on this podcast, you fucking asshole who worked for Fox. I want people to come together. The guy is just smirking his way through the news. Through what? The news. Through the entertainment. And each time I look over, because it's fascinating, we're drowning in misinformation and propaganda. Fox was way out there on this early in the Murdoch days. Just let's have we have these three networks. We have CBS, ABC, and NBC. Now, they more or less report the news. Let's have a fourth network where all they do is attack the sitting president, if he's Democrat. That's kind of wild. I know you younger folks grew up like that, but it wasn't always like that. So the guy, every person that he's talking to, there, if you look, it's like Mike Sims or something is here to complain about Biden. And the guy's like, his title, his credit, is from, it's the most goofy shit of all time. There's nothing, it's not like MIT professor, right? It's not Harvard so-and-so. It's not even doctoral student at UC Riverside. It's just like Mike from MikeSims.com/promo code or something like that. And he's the expert. He's the subject matter expert. It's smirking bullshit, perpetuating people with no professional credibility. And it makes me feel for the people that this is being fed to. And if that sounds condescending, I'm sorry. That's still the way it is. I don't mean it condescendingly, but you know, you should learn. I don't know. I know it's what you want the world to be. How wild is that, by the way? Fox is the way it is. It didn't start exactly like this because they found that their viewers wanted this. So they just kept feeding it and it kept drifting further right and further right. Finally, it was not enough because Trump ultimately had beef with Murdoch because Murdoch didn't even like him. Even Murdoch didn't like Trump. So then, you know, everyone goes further off to these other just ridiculous I know everybody knows this. I just haven't been out there in a while for these networks that that you know have to that my man at Dominion Voting Systems was on their neck and got, you know, 800 million or something from Fox. Shout out to him. The final image that I had of Fox that day, just to give you an idea of what a goddamn cesspool it is. And then I'm going to stop talking because I'm going to try to get this up right in time for noon Eastern. And I know today was, you know, well, maybe some of you were like, hey, this was interesting. You know, I tell my daughter, you have to, even if you don't have your best stuff, you have to go out and give the team a few good innings. One of my dogs is about to hack up. Are you okay, buddy? But I feel like a pitcher, like with a wobbly arm, I need to give you a good six innings. I don't know if I did that or not, but you know, I tried to gut out this performance. I'm rooting in the World Series for the Texas Rangers because they are managed by my managing hero, Bruce Bochy, who took the Padres in 1998 to the World Series when they were swept out by the Yankees. But Bochy later went on to win three World Series championships, or three World Series, with the San Francisco Giants. I told you about being at the Adams Avenue Street Fair. I had my Bochy Padres shirt on. I'm stoked for Bochy. I think it would be so awesome. And who gives a shit about the Arizona Diamondbacks, aside from Tommy Pham? Read that guy's story, and it's hyper, hyper inspiring. PHAM, Tommy Pham. Anyway, I'm pulling for Bruce Bochy and the Texas Rangers. The last thing I saw on Fox was this guy smirking. After he'd smirked through, America's getting soft. Like, liberals are making America soft. It's just all this, what they call red meat. Just give the base this dumb shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They are soft and they are fucking pussies and we should shoot them all and they're not like us. And once we get rid of, you know, 60% of the country that actually thinks differently than us and wants women to have control over what happens to their bodies, then we'll be where we need to be. Then it'll be like 1950 again. Ugh. Anyway, and by the way, what was their source of information for America's turning soft? They were showing clips from Survivor. And who was the expert to come on to speak about how one or two people on a TV show programmed to select soft people and put them out into the wilderness as proof that America, the country of almost 400 million people in general, has gotten soft? Who is the source? Some other fucking dope who was on Survivor once in his life. He's there to tell us how soft we are. The final panel that I saw, it's all right. Like I said, sometimes you just go out to the mound and you try to give the team what you have. Tell my daughter, sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we're not as creative. We just have to gut it out before you can turn it over to the bullpen. The last thing that I saw on Fox was this smirking asshole who just kind of, can you believe, he's like, can you believe this shit? Can you believe that? That's what the look on his, I'll find this guy's name. He's like, he's got to be the new star because the way they, His setup looked pretty fancy. But his face is like, can you believe this? Can you believe how much better we are than them? That's what his face looked like. And if you can see my smirk, it's pretty good. Can you believe how much better we are than them? America's soft, dude. You're the one with the guns. You're the one with the fucking military. You have all of it. You know, what's the yield? A lot of people in the world angry at us, and some of our best and brightest going off the fucking plot and shooting up people in bowling alleys and bars. The guy says, the Fox, this woman is watching it next to me, and it says, China grooming Newsom. It couldn't be more outlandish. That's what it said. Talking about the governor of California. Is he the governor of California? Yeah, he's our governor, Gavin Newsom, who my wife and I once saw in a Nike store off of Union Square years ago, just shopping with his wife, maybe when he was the mayor of San Francisco. China is grooming Newsom. It's just the brilliance of Fox. You get it all in there. You get China virus. So you get the xenophobia for them. Xenophobia. You get the word grooming in there, and you can associate that with Newsom. And because he's a Democrat, he must be a pedophile. Unlike Trump, unlike Epstein, China grooms Newsom. Should that be the title of this podcast? Maybe. I don't know. You know what? I know when I don't have my best, and I'm not going to keep telling you that, but I'm here for you. I hope you have a great weekend. My daughter is the tooth fairy, and she was a champ getting out of the house this morning. No beef until my wife tried to put a pink sweater on her, and my daughter pulled back and said, no. My wife's like, come on, girl, we got to go. Put on the sweater. And she said, no, I'm not putting it on because fairies don't have moms. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Tuesday. You know, don't groom any. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Tuesday.